Let's check. Oh, I know TC ready to cook. Let's see what TC talking about here. 916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
Good, man. How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, just vibing. Hey, before we get started, hey, I'm fired up, bro. Hey, because I told everyone, hey, man, it's fireworks, right? And what I mean by that is, listen, we dealing with two monsters, right? And BJ Armstrong and SP, that's his new nickname, BJ and SP Scott Perry. Let Kings fans, let these dudes cook because they finna put it together. I promise you, as far as the second round pick, our 42nd pick, I got three guys in mind. Hold on, let me back up. The two dudes I was talking about, they got took yesterday. The tall Asian and my French kid, right?
Yeah.
Brooklyn and Tristan was talking about my boy. Two studs. But the guys in the second round, Kenny, Rashad and D'Lo. Fleming from St. John's are my boy Proctor at point guard. Mm-hmm. Or listen, I'm ready to take a flyer on the boy. I know you don't really like him, but if you get him in the building, I think he's nice. The boy from Auburn, Broom. With the 42nd pick. Them is the top three guys I'm talking about in the second round. As far as this trade with Malik, I'm going to leave that alone right now because I feel like I'm on to something, bro, and I'm going to fall back. Hey, y'all have a nice night, bro.
TC said I'm getting too close.
Wait, latest article haven't been published yet.
He said.
Will said he was going to post it at 2. Now it's not till 6.
Or TC said it's just getting a little too scary. I don't want people coming to the house. I don't want, you know, my phone tap. I'm getting too close to something right now.
You shadow running the Kings right now?
You can't say that's my guy and then call him the tall Asian. If you don't know his name, he's not your guy. Man.
Oh,
it was a wild one, TC.
Shut out, TC.
TC flying too close to the sun, man. Too close to the sun. Oh, man. Star-studded lineup for today. It's capped off by the main event, man. Matt George. Matt George was all over this trade, everything that went on with the Kings. Mm-hmm. He broke it down in great detail on the Locked On Kings podcast last night, and I'm anxious to talk to Matt coming up. Actually, I take that back. I was going to say 15 minutes. It's actually going to be 30. He's in a meeting. He said he already gave me a notice. He already gave us notice that he'd be here around 3:30. So Matt George will be with us to talk about what the Kings did last night and perhaps to talk about what the Sacramento Kings may be doing moving forward. Mm. Scott Perry did speak yesterday at the media watch party, as the Kings promised. If the Sacramento Kings get something done, Scott Perry will be available for everybody. The Sacramento Kings got something done, and Scott Perry was, in fact, available for everybody. He talked about the identity of this team. He said at one point, we want to enhance the identity of this basketball team. And he talked about things like toughness and playing hard and teamwork on offense and being a defensive-oriented team. And he talked about professionalism and accountability and These are all really great words. Some of them are not generic. They're specific characteristics. But it appears now, as we asked yesterday, what is a Scott Perry player? And we were able to do a little bit of process of elimination by Trae Young. Mm-hmm. Trae Young is, and I think Sam Amick kind of confirmed as much in his article today. He's an offensive first guy. He's a high usage guy, and those don't seem to fit the principles, if you will, of the identity of the team that Scott Perry wants to establish. So who on the team fits those characteristics? And I don't know the answer to that. I feel like Keegan fits a lot of those characteristics, and maybe that's really what this boils down to. Who fits the most characteristics that Scott Perry is trying to lay out on this team? I feel like Keegan is one.
Yes, I would agree.
I think Domas checks a lot of these boxes. I have questions about, I mean, I think Zach LaVine is a professional. I think he's accountable. I think Zach LaVine is tough. I think he played. Man, I'd probably put Zach LaVine in here, too. I'd absolutely put DeMar DeRozan in here. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to have this idea, but how does this amount to a good basketball team? That, to me, is the question. Mm-hmm. If we've truly established what type of player Scott Perry is looking for, great. How does this account for a good basketball team? Because if we can check off the boxes on, I don't know, the 9 players on the roster, well, this isn't a very good basketball team, right? So what do? You deviate from your, do you deviate from your proposed identity? Mm-hmm. Or do you bend but don't break? Or do you try to find better players who fit as many of those attributes as possible?
I would say you got to bend but don't break. There,
thank you.
Like, you can't. If the majority of those guys that you're looking for are on your team, but you won 40 games and there's no prospects of you winning more than that with that group, you might have to think outside the box for at least one or two of those players. You know, I need a guy that can get me 17 points a night, 19 points a night, you know, and he might be a little rough around the edges. You might be somebody that doesn't check the majority of the boxes that you're looking for, but that's where you trust the other guys in that locker room. You trust your locker room to say, like, yeah, we could have one or maybe two of those guys and it'd still be fine, still be a winning ball club. You know, I can't have 8 of them, but one of those guys shouldn't just throw everything off.
Yeah.
That would be my thought.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a task ahead for Scott Perry, but he took his first step yesterday, trading into the first round of the draft and selecting Nick Crawford there at 24, making a deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who, again, everyone's aware of this, but broadcast journalist points out 2027 protected, the 2027 San Antonio pick, which has 1 through 16 projections. So if for some reason the Spurs aren't good, and that pick winds up 1 through 16, the Kings keep that pick, and it immediately becomes 2 seconds. Immediately. There's no Kevin Herdering this thing where it drags out for 6 years. They immediately become 2 seconds in that draft.
From here on out, I've been scarred. I got PTSD.
Yeah, understandable.
From trade restrictions, draft restrictions. I'm only going 1 year out. It's either you get it right away or it's protected for 1 year. And that's it. We ain't going from top 5 to top 10 to top 14. No, bro. Hey, here. We either made the playoffs or we didn't.
Yeah.
That's it.
And a lot of Kings fans were getting impatient last night as trades and picks were made one after the other after the other. Not everybody fired off a tweet to Jake Fisher, but still, Kings fans were getting impatient. There will be no drama tonight as the Kings are currently slated to draft at 42. The only drama that will unfold is if the Sacramento Kings decide to move that pick between now and then, or if the Sacramento Kings decide to make a grander trade that includes that 42 pick, or move up or back in the second round of the draft. But there is reason to tune in without staring at your phone, wondering if Hisham's tweet is going to come through announcing the trade. The Kings are slated to pick at 42, and we will have coverage of the NBA draft beginning here on ESPN 1320 in about an hour and a half. Coverage begins at 4:30, so you lock in. Obviously, there's a lot more that the Kings could do, but I think tonight will probably feel a little bit different than last night did.
Yeah, and I, once again, I'm hoping they make the pick. I know James had talked about potentially moving that pick to get some more assets. Kyle had given me the option of, would you rather them make the pick, or because James's thing was they don't have any more second round picks for years to come.
Mm.
So, and that's kind of how you get some of these deals done. Not, not Kevin. Well, yeah, actually Kevin Durant, but not Giannis. But like, if you need to go get a Valanciunas or something like that in the middle of the season, you usually use those second round picks. And the Kings don't have any of them. So he's like, maybe you take this year's second round pick and go get some of those picks to stash and to be able to use when you need to make a trade. And Kyle asked me, would you rather them get a player or kind of add to that asset asset box that they have? I say I wouldn't mind the best of both worlds. Won't sing it, but
could you want you move to, though. Bad. That, like, I can see it.
I love singing that. I know that's you a great one. Could you move back and get a second rounder from somebody for moving back?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing about that, too, is while they don't have any second-round picks coming up, I think maybe Scott Perry may be looking at it like, I'm probably going to get a second-round pick or two. I got a deal that I'm probably going to make, and I'm probably get a second in that. So I'm not going to be without a second-rounder for too long, and that may be the case. But I want them to make the pick. I want a player. Some of the players that I want, because I'm really going point guard hunting.
Okay.
Like Mark Sears and Proctor out of Duke and Caleb Love out of Arizona. I'm going point guard hunting. Now, they brought up a good point, and I agree. Sears and Love specifically, I think Tyrese Proctor is going to be drafted. But Sears and Love might end up being undrafted guys. So it might even be a reach to go and get those guys. You can go get small forward, take a chance on some type of power forward right now with that 42 pick, and then go get that point guard on the undrafted free agent market. So I want one of those three guys tonight. At some point, I want one of those three guys on the Kings, either Proctor, Sears, or Caleb Love. If not, I'm pouring water on the sidewalk.
I don't think I know that analogy.
It's not. I just made it up. It's just something destructive.
Pouring water on the sidewalk?
Could be. I don't know. I just
that's destructive.
I looked at this water right here. I said, "Well, I could just pour this on the desk right now." Well, I won't do that.
But still in a drought, so it's pretty. We're in a drought, right? That'd be pretty wasteful. So.
Man, they always say we're in a drought.
I don't think we are.
Well, yeah, we're always in a drought because we're always pouring water on the sidewalk.
Bro, did you just try to make a new it?
Look, if they don't take one of those three guys, I'm going to run the sprinklers, not on my assigned day.
Hey, you need to relax. Authorities are coming to your house. You're going to get a fine.
Well, I'm running the sprinklers on a Wednesday.
Has anyone ever caught a fine from that?
No, because I'm going by the book. Tuesdays and Thursdays over here, buddy.
Are we still in a drought? Like, are we ever not
in a drought? We're in a drought-ish.
Drought-ish?
Yeah, I think. I don't know. Depends on the year. I'll look it up right now.
Bro, I'm going to pour water on the sidewalk. I thought you just dropped a line on me that I was, man, I've never heard it. What's that mean? No, Kenny's literally going to pour water onto the sidewalk.
He's rolling the sidewalk one bottle at a time.
Man, that's OKC championship parade wild right there.
Did you see they had a gang of beers and champagne still in their dressing room?
Oh, I believe it.
Come
on, guys. We got to practice tomorrow. First postseason practice, guys. Let's go. Huh? We're making jokes. This team just won the damn title.
And probably going to win another one in a year or two.
They might, or they might not. Well, one step they took to winning another title to me yesterday that they did? They traded the pick to the Sacramento Kings. They can't keep drafting players.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the...
Oh, Kenny, any thoughts? You were always don't trade with the Thunder. Don't trade with the Thunder. Any thoughts?
The NBA, see, they need NFL-level collusion to make that happen, and they don't have that unity.
Did you pour water on the sidewalk last night?
No, I was happy. If I was a Brooklyn Nets fan, I might have, though. I ain't just going to draft all five.
So you know what would be so great is when they start them. All five of them together.
The Fab Five.
It's the Fab Five of 2025. You only got a couple months of mileage out of that, so you got to take it.
I checked drought.gov, by the way. Yeah, yep. We're like drought-ish. Like Northern California is cool. Southern California looks like they're having a tough time. According to this map.
Did you see what it's going to be the 4th of July next week? That's kind of crazy. I don't know how I feel about that.
Hot?
It's going to be like 84 degrees.
Oh. That's not...
I don't know how I feel about
that. It's probably not good scientifically, but I'll take it.
Damn, can I get a 91 at least? I ain't saying it's got to be 101, but damn, it's the 4th of July.
What's the thing? It probably should be 101 or something.
We've hit triple digits, like what, twice?
What? I'm wearing a parka on 4th of July.
Well,
wearing the Montclair jacket.
I got 91, but of course that's 4th of July is Friday, right?
Yeah.
I got 91, but that's of course out here in Roseville, so it might be colder in Elk Grove.
It might be.
It might be colder.
I'm starting to think so because we do get some different. Different temperature joints.
It's not officially summertime till I show up to work without a hoodie.
Well, Elk Grove's 88 next. Oh no, it's 90 Friday. Sorry.
We'll come back. That's all right, we're getting you feeling better?
I'm feeling better. Yeah. All right.
No need to pour water on the side. It'll just evaporate anyways.
But they don't get one of them players tonight. I'm running my today's a good day. I'm running my sprinklers tomorrow.
Oh man, them sprinklers, boy. We'll come back. Matt George joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, Matt George is going to join us here right around the bottom of the hour. That man is hard at work over at ABC 10. Mitch is retired, so he's just hanging out. 916-909-1320. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, guys? I threw my name in the lottery, but my name wasn't called. I'm way under 6'2", so I thought I had a shot.
You're over 6'2", Mitch?
Under. I wish I was.
I
made my mom when I was a sophomore. I was 5'1", 110 pounds. I made her take me to the doctor. I ran out crying. I wanted to be tall.
Sorry to hear that, man. Rich. Definitely sounds like you've gotten over it, though.
You think? $5 for a copay. Those are the days.
Those were the days, Mitch.
Thank you. Thank you,
Dan. You got it, buddy. You got it, buddy.
Okay. Hey, what's with the infatuation with twos and threes? We need a point guard, which we had two good ones, and fours and fives. We could have got a big one. You know a guy I wish they had gotten, and I love his last name, and I don't know why Portland traded him to Memphis, get some tall, Yang is his name. Anyway, I'm not good with names. I know that. Coward is his last name. He's got a great last name. He should be a police officer, but he'll make more money in basketball. Coward, that, and he went up from D3 to Eastern Washington, was going to go to Duke, but he made his right decision going to the pros. He's going to be a good player. You watch him. Why can't we? Again, we don't learn a lesson. Stop. What's giving up our draft assets, especially first round?
And we are out of here.
He said he should have been a cop. What?
Have a good weekend, Mitch. Yeah, I think no need to save that one.
Jesse hit him with go and take Friday off, Mitch. Go and take Friday off.
Jesse said he should have been a cop. I was like, all right, we're gonna run this one down.
Yeah.
Man, big ups to my guy, Mitch. Man.
It's never dull when he calls.
Never. It's always exciting. It's always an adventure.
Said Cowherd, though. That's what Malika Andrews called him.
Yeah, Colin.
Colin Cowherd.
Called him Colin Cowherd. That thing Colin Cowherd posted a picture of him photoshopped in a Blazers jersey. That was great.
Did you see Skip Bayless was showing love for Neek Clifford?
I did.
But that's only because he thought the Thunder got him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that tweet made the rounds, or had been making the rounds when I looked this morning.
That guy. Boy, oh boy.
Like, who even goes to Skip Bayless for an opinion on this stuff? Like, I'm not going, yeah, Skip said Neek Clifford's good, man, so we golden.
Is he on TV still or no?
I don't think so.
I got him blocked on Twitter, so I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, I don't.
I think he got, didn't he get fired for sexual assault?
I don't think he got fired, but he was thrown in that.
Oh, he was named in that case, but he was already let go. Yeah, you're right.
He stinks.
Oh, he's terrible. He's terrible.
Not good.
Absolutely terrible. Well, coverage of the second round begins just about an hour from now here on ESPN 1320. Make sure you're locked in for that. Kings currently slated to draft at 42. Will they actually draft at 42? Well, we'll find out. KC says, hey, maybe move back. KC says, let's go point guard hunting. Mitch says, why are we infatuated with twos and threes? We need a point guard. Maybe, don't know this, wasn't there, but maybe there wasn't a point guard that they liked at that position. From what we've heard, there have been multiple players. I do believe one's a point guard. Matt will be able to, Matt was all over this story last night, so he'll be able to refresh my memory a little bit from listening to the Locked On Kings podcast earlier. But I think there were two or three players that they were very, very, very interested in. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of different spots once you got around the 20 mark with teams that they felt comfortable that they could do business with pretty quickly. OKC wound up being one that they felt confident they could get some work done with. Nate Crawford was the player that they like, and that was the deal they chose to execute. Yeah. So the Kings, after much talking, debating, wondering if Jake Fisher was right or wrong, got into the draft last night and made the pick. It was kind of for a draft that had, what do we say, 10 trades in the final 20 picks, it didn't feel like a, I don't know. It just kind of felt like, I just found myself like almost passively watching it. And it could have been the way we started. Like, we had to passively watch the start because we were doing another radio show.
Yeah.
And I kind of just, when I finally got to like sit down and watch it, of course it's later in the draft at this point, it's kind of like, all right. And again, trades are happening all over the place. You got players upset that they're going, it just didn't, I don't know. It just kind of felt.
Didn't have the pizzazz.
It did. I don't know why. I don't know why. It didn't.
Well, I'm not wrong.
Let's bring in Matt George. Matt, I've been singing your praises all day, man. You did a great job on the Locked On Kings podcast last night. You did a great job covering the draft for the Sacramento Kings. Hopefully I don't forget anything I want to ask you because you can provide a whole lot of insight into what happened last night. So let's start here. How did the Kings settle on 24 and Nick Crawford? Because you made it clear they had a couple of players in mind and a couple of spots in line.
Yeah, they came into the draft with a list of names. I know pretty high on that list was Walter Clayton Jr. They had an eye on him. Neek Clifford, of course, was on the list. Asa Newell was also pretty high on that list as well, to where the Kings actually almost made a play for Asa Newell around that 21 spot. They were talking to Washington around that 21 spot to potentially to jump up there to take him. But I think I've heard like a potential of like some kind of medical thing or like a little spook or a little scare. I don't think it's anything too extreme because he got taken 23rd, the pick before the Sacramento Kings. And then they ultimately landed on Neek being there. But yeah, they had a list, and they, like Scott Perry said in his press conference, and I thought Scott was very transparent in his press conference, which was a breath of fresh air. He talked about like there were preliminary conversations. The Kings had talked to multiple teams from Brooklyn to Washington to even potentially Miami to Oklahoma City, even going into the draft, to kind of at least set the understanding or have an idea of what a trade would look like, circumstances, and kind of a baseline or a foundation, so that when there were 5 minutes on the clock and things were happening fast, they could come up with a deal quickly. So it sounded like, I mean, there was already a conversation between Presti and Perry around that 24th pick and what it would look like. And the Kings decided to pounce when they realized Clifford would be there. And they ended up getting a first round pick. And Scott Perry starts his tenure as the general manager, his first player personnel move. He goes out and gets a rookie, which I think is really important for a general manager to go out and kind of get the first player that they select, right? Like the entire roster as it stands right now is not Scott's roster. Doesn't mean he's getting rid of all of them, but that's not his team. He's inherited them. Neek Clifford is the first player that he has chosen to say, I want that guy on my team. So I think that's an important first step, and you'll learn a lot about a general manager by who they select. And I think we learned a whole heck of a lot about Scott Perry on how he moved into the first round, how he handled last night, which I thought he did a brilliant job.
Matt, did you think going into last night that they were going to get into that first round? I know myself and Damian, we didn't. James Hamm was saying, you know, it's a good chance, 80% chance. And throughout the night, I was like, I don't think it's going to happen. But were you always kind of convinced that they were going to eventually find their way back into that first round?
I think the hesitation was, from what I heard, was just the belief that the guys on their list wouldn't be there. And they started dropping really quickly in that late teens range. We started, like, we saw Walter Clayton go down. Then we start to see some of these guys that we know are high on the Kings board or on the Kings list start to go pretty quickly in quick succession. I think the Kings felt like that was going to happen. And if they were started dropping in those teens range, that was an area that it was going to take more than I think the Kings were comfortable giving up to move up to get, right? So I think the Kings always felt that that 24 or 26, 27 range, because Brooklyn had two picks around there, which, by the way, the fact that Brooklyn didn't trade any of their five first rounder and they made five selections is pretty crazy. Good for Jordy. He's going to have a young basketball team, I suppose. But I think the Kings knew or felt pretty confident that they'd be able to get a deal done in that range. The question was always, will any of the guys that we want be there at that spot? So, like, even if Neek Clifford wasn't the top of their list, they still were not confident or not sure. And we've seen a lot of mock drafts not have Neek there at 24. So I think that was the hesitation, that the Kings weren't just going to move into the first round and move into the first round. That's why Scott Perry didn't make a trade for a first round pick weeks ago or days ago, because why would he? Like, you have more information on draft night. A draft pick is more valuable on draft night than any other time, because you have information of who's going. So that's why he decided to pounce. He was patient, but attacked when he felt he could get a pick and get his guy there. And he executed it pretty flawlessly.
Do you think we're in for a boring night tonight? Pretty chalk draft. Keep it moving.
Compared to last night, yes. I mean, I've seen the conversations and the possibilities of what if the Kings trade their second round pick, and unless you're adding that as a sweetener to a much bigger deal that doesn't have to happen on draft night, I'm not expecting fireworks. I'm curious who they're going to take, and I don't have as good of an indication as I had last night about guys that are on their list or names that they're high on this their board. But this is the range of all the guys that they brought in to Sacramento for pre-draft workouts, right? That's this range. So any of those names that they worked out could go here, or maybe some that they didn't work out. Like, they never worked out Neek Clifford. They had a conversation with him at the draft combine, but that was it. So they can go in any which direction. So I'm more, from the viewership standpoint, for me, I'm going to be monitoring and paying attention to what I pay attention to. But I think this tonight's kind of a sit back and see what Scott is looking for and what kind of project or depth he's going to prioritize with that pick if he makes a selection there.
Just speaking to Matt George, what would you like to see the Kings target in with this 42 pick position? Skill level play, like, who are you looking to guard? Like, I'm point guard hunting. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Point guard is the most obvious weakness on this roster, or I shouldn't say weakness. I should say, like, there's just no depth at the point guard position on this roster. How much are you going to address it with the 42nd, 43rd pick? Like, I don't really look at, like, you have to take a point guard here because you have no point guard depth. To me, it's like, I'm all for the Kings going out and getting another 6'8", 6'9 guy that's kind of like an Isaac Jones, and maybe he turns into something. I don't know. Like, I think the Kings could always just use more athleticism. So go out and try and find, like, an athlete that impressed you. But I don't think I really have too much of a preference. I would be a bad general manager because I don't value second round picks very highly. I know you can get diamonds in the rough and you can find great guys in the second round, and teams have done that. I don't put a lot of stock in second round picks. I'm more like, okay, when you make a selection, I'm curious about the player and about their journey, but I'm not really name hunting for the second round at this point in time. So I don't have super high of expectations for this pick tonight. Again, it's more curiosity of what direction Scott goes in, and then we'll monitor that pick that more than likely will spend time either in the G League or as a two-way player. That's pretty much the extent, Casey, of like how, I guess, dialed in I am to the second round pick for the Kings tonight.
Let's jump into part two of the Locked On Kings podcast that you did last night. And you talked a little bit about what the future might look like for this basketball team. And that future might be within the next handful of days. Of course, the future could be as early tonight, but as free agency beginning on Monday, there could be a lot of moving parts over the course of the next, you know, the next couple of days or so. Started last night, the trade to get into the first round, grabbing Neat Clifford, a guy who can play at the two, a guy who can play at the three, a pretty versatile player who come off your bench. We speculated he could potentially be a, you know, a sixth man, seventh man. Drake, you confirmed that. He thinks that's the type of player that he is. That's obviously high praise, too. That's a rotational player. That's a really solid player when you're drafted there at 24. But we're starting to get our first glimpse as to what Scott Perry likes in particular players. And I'm wondering, Matt, what that may have told you about the future for some guys on Sacramento right now.
Yeah, I think that's what's important to kind of touch on here is, like I said earlier, this is not Scott Perry's roster. He inherited it. So we're talking from the perspective of a lot of us, we being like myself too. Like, I've been very consistent and I was very open, whether it was on this show or on the podcast, coming into this offseason, where I thought I would be shocked if DeMar DeRozan were still here. Like, I've said that multiple times on the podcast. I thought it made sense for both sides, the Kings and DeMar, to move on. But that's coming from the perspective of someone who has followed this team closely and had last year's context. And Scott Perry is coming in with a fresh mindset. He has his own, of course, opinions and preconceived notions of players and stuff like that. And he's been around the league a long time. But it's about who Scott Perry likes, who Scott Perry values. And from what conversations that I've had, reading the tea leaves of the players that he values, he's been very vocal repeatedly about the character traits of players that he wants to have here in Sacramento. It's starting to become more clear that DeMar DeRozan might not be going anywhere. And in fact, like, one of the things I said last night, because this is a mixture of things that I've heard plus kind of common sense, is you brought in another 6'5", 6'6", guy. Neat Clifford is a 2'3". He's not in front, of course, of LaVine, DeRozan, or Malik. He's not in front of Keon, and the Kings have a decision to make about Keon coming up here, but I feel pretty good about what the Kings are going to do there. So, in theory, like, one of those three that I listed, DeMar, LaVine, and Malik, has to go. And again, I've heard similar rumblings. And if you were to take all contract context off the table, and it is a schoolyard pick, and here you have in front of you DeMar, LaVine, Malik, you can only pick one of them, I think Scott Perry's first choice is DeMar DeRozan at this point. So LaVine, now with the context of the contract, really hard to move right now. I think we know this. So I don't think LaVine's going anywhere. So now it becomes DeMar or Malik. Again, I think Scott Perry would prefer to have DeMar at this point in time. So the possibility of Malik being traded, I think, is definitely increased to potentially even a likelihood over the last few days or week as we've start to learn more about who Scott Perry likes and values for this team going forward, whether it's short term or long term.
What do you think about Devin Carter? Because his name has been mentioned mostly by us, I guess, but I've seen different trade scenarios where he might be involved. Like, what do you think the Kings are feeling about Devin Carter and continuing to keep him around?
I think Devin Carter was one of the players, maybe the main or only player that the Kings were really making available in move-up trade talks last night. And I think it's fair to assume that there's not much of a market out there for Devin Carter. And guys, I think we also might have overestimated the market for Malik Monk as well. And I've seen the rumors and I've seen the reports and trying to find out as much as I can, as we all are, about this Malik Monk Toronto Raptors, if that makes sense, because Emmanuel Quickley certainly should be someone the Kings are monitoring if they feel that they could get him, or even RJ Barrett to some extent. But I've gotten indications, plus just kind of just understanding where the Kings are at, where other teams are at. And while $18 million felt like a bargain deal for us here in Sacramento, with so many teams dealing with the aprons and fears of the aprons and everything like that, $18 million is not anything to just say, yeah, we can just take that on. I don't know if Malik Monk's market is as prolific as at least I thought it would be coming into this offseason. I figured, and even going back to a handful of weeks ago, I would figure like Malik Monk is one of the not easiest guys for the Kings to move, but someone that the Kings could use for a value trade because he's a good basketball player and he's on a pretty reasonable deal. But the more that we hear, the less it sounds like Malik has a ton of suitors, although anything could change at any given time. Just because he doesn't have a lot of suitors around draft time doesn't mean he won't have more suitors around free agency or even a week into free agency.
Man, I think you know this. A source may have shared with you as well. That market for Malik last year wasn't there. There was one other team.
Correct.
There was one other team. The person didn't tell me the team. I assumed it was Detroit. I come to think about it, it doesn't matter. I assumed it was Detroit. But we thought, oh, it could be Orlando. It could be the... Wasn't there.
I
know Malik used
to...
the phrase. I know for a fact Malik used the phrase, money dried up. So it might not have been the market we thought. Or it wasn't the market
we thought. I don't think we should be so liberal with the phrase or term Malik turned down more money to stay here in Sacramento as much as I've seen it used. I'm not saying that that is completely untrue, but I don't think like there's a narrative out there, and I understand Malik's a fan favorite. I like Malik a lot. Personally, I would not hate at all for Malik Monk to still be a Sacramento King. I think he's an incredible, valuable six man. I think he's one of the best six men in the league. We've seen that. Does he want to still play that position now that he got a taste of starting? I don't know. Doug Christie was pretty vocal about when he took the interim job that Malik came to him and said, whatever you need me to do, I'll do, and handle things the right way. So maybe that's a good indication going forward. But I think like a lot of Kings fans have used this idea that Malik chose to stay in Sacramento and turned down multiple different offers out there that would have made him higher paid because he wanted to be the pizza guy and he loved it here in this city. And he loves Sacramento. I believe that wholeheartedly. I don't know how much I'm buying or how much I think it's been overstated. Let's put it that way. I think it's been overstated that he turned down a significant amount of money to remain a Sacramento King.
So I'll ask both of you guys, if that Devin Carter market wasn't what they thought, you know, they were just trying to get into the draft, let alone get a player.
Yeah.
And that was kind of iffy. And the Malik Monk market isn't what they thought.
Run it back!
Say, what the hell? What you going to do?
Yeah.
What you going to do as far as making moves and moving this roster around? Matt, is it realistic that they may be forced to run it back to a certain degree?
I have been consistent with, and I know D'Lo hates this term, and I'm sorry. I've been pretty consistent with my belief that next season is a gap year. Like, next season is just what it is. And I think there's kind of a similar belief within this Kings front office right now. That's not that they're just going to punt on next season and next season doesn't matter. Because using this, and we can talk about this too, guys, like using this mindset or understanding of what we believe next season to be, Dennis Schroeder makes a lot of sense. So we can go down that road if you guys want to go down that road. But I think there's kind of an understanding or a belief in their this front office, as there should be in my mind, that next season is just kind of like, all right, we'll run not everything back. You're not just going to copy and paste the roster, because I do think Scott will make some moves. I think they're going to be fringe moves. I don't think there's going to be like the star hunting, I think, is off the table. Like, I don't think we've seen there's no interest in Trae Young. Like, that was something that I think Sam Amick also kind of reported. The Kings aren't like big contract hunting right now. I have zero indication that that's been the case. So I think they look at next season as it is what it is.
Oh, don't say it. Don't do it. Don't do it, Matt.
We're going to run out one more year of Zach LaVine's contract. Maybe we make another push for the playoffs via the play-in. We get maybe a better indication of certain aspects of our roster, from Keegan Murray to Keon Ellis to Neek Clifford to any of these guys. And then once you go into next offseason, where Perry has that context and LaVine now only has 1 year left on his deal and DeMar only has half a season, half partial guaranteed final year of his deal, or even the trade deadline. Guys, there's no reason to believe that Perry won't use DeMar at the trade deadline to trade to a team that maybe feels like they're a go-to scorer away from making a push, right? It makes perfect sense to me that DeMar's value might be higher at the deadline than it is right now, especially with his final year partially guaranteed. So just because the Kings aren't doing anything right now doesn't mean they won't do anything next season. But I genuinely think next season is a gap year, D'Lo. And I think there are people in the front office that kind of feel the same. They have patience on their side. There's not the same win now pressure on the shoulders of Scott Perry as there was with Monty McNair, nor should there be. And the fact that I'm hearing these things and feeling this way actually gives me, it makes me feel better, not about next season, but it makes me feel better about this front office, that they're looking around, they're recognizing where the very real position that this roster and this organization is at, and they're not willing to just make a swing for the sake of making a swing to try and turn a mess of very, very talented players into a playoff basketball team in a Western Conference that is just getting better and better and better.
Gross. That's just gross. But I hate that optimistic Matt returned because the Kings might be on a gap year.
Well, hold on.
I was about to say, did he return?
There's going to be, I mean,
this is as happy as he sounded in 3 months.
Well, I am very happy about what Scott Perry did last night. I was very impressed with Scott last night. I was very impressed. I thought he handled that trade brilliantly. I thought the assets that he gave up, like, I thought last night was a very strong indication of who Scott Perry is and will be as a general manager. He had the right amount of patience, but also attacked when he felt it was time to attack. Not too much patience, and he didn't jump the gun. I was impressed by that. We don't know how Neek Clifford's going to play out. That judgment is saved for a few years from now. But that was the first indication we got of Scott Perry as a general manager when it came to player personnel moves. And I was very encouraged by that. But that doesn't mean I'm excited about next season. I'm not.
Can I throw a little monkey wrench of sorts at your theory? Can you, if you're not trying to, okay, let me start at the beginning. You don't believe Monty McNair in that front office executed the Zach LaVine trade, correct?
I think there was very heavy ownership influence, but ultimately McNair made the call, I guess.
He made the call, but almost under orders to make the call.
Yes, okay. I think that's pretty well understood.
The Zach LaVine move was a win now move. Everybody agree? Why would that be different today? Because Zach LaVine is still very much on this roster. The roster's is the same. Why would that not be the case now?
Because they fell short. Because the win now, they didn't win now. They made it to the play-in again and then got embarrassed on their home floor in the play-in. And I think there was a pretty quick realization around that organization that maybe it wasn't the right move. And then you brought in a general manager that I think we all know pretty well wouldn't have made that move, right? And Perry, this is not his first rodeo, right? He's a seasoned veteran general manager. And like, the Kings didn't hold a vast interview process. They wanted Perry. And I think Perry's only accepting this job if he has the confidence that he is going to have two things specifically. One, the final say, within reason, right? Or ownership still has to sign off on anything that's common around the league. That's not a Vivek thing, that's common around the league. But he's the he makes the call. And two, that he has the time to right the ship, right? He has the time to clean up the mess. Yeah. So I'm operating with the belief that he has bare minimum those two caveats that any new general manager should realistically have, especially one who is as seasoned as Perry. And I think all of us can feel pretty confident in saying Perry would not have made that move. Now, the Kings will still be competitive next season, in my opinion. Perry, more than likely, will want this team to be as competitive as possible. And if, as constructed, they can be a playoff team, great. Fantastic. But I think Perry, like myself and others, looks at this roster and realizes that while short term they might be able to do something that's interesting, long term, you don't look at this roster with any kind of long term confidence or cohesiveness at this point. You don't. And it's not just because, oh, these players don't work together. It's because one of them's 35, 36 years old in DeMar. One of them is Zach LaVine, who's coming to the end of his contract. Domas just started his new contract, but you're looking at a star who's hesitant to score the basketball. So, I mean, he looks at this roster with common sense the same way you and I do and go, yeah, this isn't, there's not sustainable success here. So the Kings were trying to win now last season. There was a playoff mandate last season. They fell short. A new regime comes in here, looks around and goes, yeah, winning now ain't it with this group. At least those are the tea leaves that I read. And that's me projecting a lot of myself and my opinions and my feelings into it too. This is not all stuff that I'm hearing. This is a lot of just me and my opinions on the situation.
Yeah, if you're allowed to have an opinion, it's okay. It's all right. Share your opinion. Someone might just repeat it a few hours later, but go ahead, man. That's fine.
Verbatim.
I'm just saying it happens.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Who is it? Wait a minute. What the?
For the radio audience, the lights just went out like the Undertaker was on his way to get Matt George.
I'm about to get tombstoned by Monty McNair.
Yeah. About to get tombstoned by Kevin John. Yeah, you could take Kevin. It's fine. He's too happy.
The other thing about that, and you kind of laid it out too, Matt, when you talk about like the mandate to win now, I still think the team has a lot of talent. Like if they came back with a lot of the guys that they had from last year, including DeMar DeRozan, I think there's a lot of talent on that roster, man. And last year was just a wild ride, man. I think, I'm not saying that's the end all be all. There were things where people just didn't play well, and maybe, you know, there were some chemistry issues, but it was a wild ride last year, and that's got to account for something. That's got to play a factor into something. And they were, you know, a play-in team last year, and I think this year with a little bit more cohesion, if you did come back with those guys, you have a better chance of doing something than you did last year, you know. So they could still, to what Matt was talking about, they can still win games even if they kind of run it back.
So there's a couple things that you said there that I think are really, really important, Casey. First off, you're right. All of us, including ownership, coaching staff, front office, could easily go, okay, what does a full season of LaVine and DeRozan and Domas look like without a star demanding a trade and a coach being fired in December? Now that there's no fear of, we know Doug Christie's going to have the job, right? What does a full season of that look like? Those factors absolutely play a factor. I think I don't think that's enough to go into the season with confidence, but that is certainly a factor. The other thing that you said there, though, Casey, and it actually goes back to one of your earlier questions. You talk about the amount of talent on this roster. Jake Fisher referenced the same thing earlier on your guys' show. There is a ton of talent on this roster, which might play into the majority of it being run back. Why? Because the Kings and Perry are not just going to get rid of it for the sake of getting rid of it. Like, that's how I look at the Malik Monk situation. If Malik Monk doesn't have a great market, and I've heard like rumors of a trade, like, or like a super low ball offer from the Miami Heat, like, if Malik's market isn't as good as we think it is, even if Perry's not the biggest fan of Malik, like, bring him back. Like, I don't just trade him for scraps at this point in time. And wait and see. Like, it's the patience thing that I preach with De'Aaron Fox, right? If DeMar DeRozan's market right now, if you, one, really like DeMar DeRozan, which I very much believe Scott Perry likes DeMar DeRozan. I think Scott Perry likes Domantas Sabonis a lot, too. But if Scott Perry, one, really likes DeMar, and two, he doesn't feel like he could get what DeMar is valued for right now, like he's not willing to play Pat Riley's game with Miami or whatever, like, or whatever, or they can't get Kuminga from the Warriors or whatever, then wait till the trade deadline and reevaluate not just where you're at, but where every other team in the league is at, especially a team in the Eastern Conference that's looking at the conference as wide freaking open right now because three stars in the East all went down with the same injury and are going to be out the entire year, right? That context matters. Patience is a card that I feel Scott Perry has now that Monty didn't have last season because Monty overplayed the patience card the two seasons before that, if that makes sense. So you have all this talent. Sure, you don't want all of it on your roster, or you don't look at all of this talent as the core of my team going forward. But I'm not just going to dump Malik Monk or dump DeMar DeRozan and give an asset away for scraps because the Kings are too talented to do that. It's a weird spot to be in, but it's a spot where patience, I think, is more important.
Yeah. All right. Man, Matt George.
Cooking.
Cooking. He is, man. You got to stay, well, I guess pun intended, got to stay locked in.
Stay locked on.
Matt George is shooting something. I'm not sure. What?
No, it's like my zinger, like the product play. I don't know. I is it cool? It was.
Are you?
Cool.
No.
Sorry.
Oh my God. No, that was not. Did you think that was cool?
Oh, okay. No. I called Neat Clifford my guy last night after Jake Gaden called Neat Clifford my guy, and I felt like an idiot. I said it, and like, thank God the Zoom of Neat Clifford is only focused on him, because if it were me, you would see my face like physically cringe when I said it. Like, I was like, oh, then my guy. I was like, oh, God. So anyway, that's how I'm doing.
Oh, Matt, I love you, buddy. Let's just get out of here and let Matt. Well, you can't get rest, man. We got another round to cover tonight.
That's right.
Great stuff, Matt George. You're killing it over on Locked On Kings and, of course, ABC 10. Coverage of the second round of the NBA draft begins in just about 30 minutes. And, of course, we'll recap it all beginning tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Scott Perry.